advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Hello, gentlemen. What's the word?
Bird.
Mother bird.
Isn't there a Family Guy episode where he does that for like 5 minutes?
Yes, yeah. There is.
Yeah.
So you want to turn it off?
Yes. No,
that's the secret to their comedy.
I like that.
They do
like
it till
that.
You laugh.
Yeah. I like that show. I like that specific one.
I'm a little bit burnt out on it.
I haven't watched it in a long time. So my kids are watching Phineas and Ferb right now.
It's a good show. I've seen a lot of
it. It has a lot of adult humor.
Yeah, I never watch any of the cartoons because I don't have kids, but it's like every so often I'll see a snippet, or if I'm like with my nephews or niece and like they'll watch some cartoon and I'm like, that's actually pretty fucking legit.
I got a pretty solid Dr. Doofenshmirtz, but it only happens in the car on the way to school when it's summertime, so it ain't
happening. Yeah, it's my favorite. So
I have a new occultinator. It's gonna turn everybody into a cult, and I'll be able to take over the tri-state area.
That's pretty good, dude. That's really good.
So, what's been going on? What we got? Any Yucateco stories? Yucateco ambushes.
I tried a couple crazy Yucateco things. I went outside the Yucateco box.
Okay, so this I gotta hear what
cabin food stuff that I don't normally eat. So I went for it. There was
like good food.
I put Yucateco on things that should have had sugar on them.
Oh, that's weird.
I put it on pancakes this morning for breakfast.
What?
Okay, hear me out.
That could work. That could work, though. I mean,
someone else had mentioned it to me. They were like, yeah, I don't put syrup on my pancakes. I was like, yeah, me either. They're like, I'd put hot sauce on there before I put syrup. And I was like, wait a minute. So I put butter on my pancakes is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put butter on there and I was like, I'll try it on a bite at least. And I did only do it for the bite. And it's what's to be expected. You know, no new synergistic merge happens where it tastes like some crazy new thing. There's like pancakes and there's butter. Then there's delicious El Yucateco. And then it tastes like pancakes with butter and delicious El Yucateco. It's nothing crazy, you know.
But I bet you could devise a maple syrup recipe with the
habanero
with the sauce. You probably could. If you add some ingredients.
But this is the one where you'll be like, what? So at dinner, though, last night, there was chocolate cake. And I did. I put it on chocolate cake. But I was just kidding.
You're just getting obsessed now.
Well, that makes more sense to me than the pancakes. Because I've had things before where it was like chocolate with some like spiciness and it's like a really good merger.
Yeah, it wasn't anything. It was like, I still liked it. I wouldn't do it as a practice probably. I'm not going looking for the hot sauce to put on chocolate cake, but I don't usually eat chocolate cake. But the thing that's weird about that people freak out, they're like, that's disgusting. If you had vanilla ice cream and you crushed nacho cheese Doritos all over the top of it, other than it being like stoner food, it just tastes like the two things that you put together. It doesn't somehow become dog
shit. Some things become good though, like French fries and
the
like vanilla frosty
thing,
or chocolate frosty. Like
no,
for whatever reason,
that's a horror show.
No, that's really good.
Fucking horror.
You're crazy.
I thought these women at work used to do it. And I was like, that is disgusting.
Yes.
Like, it is the worst thing ever.
You're right.
Until one day I had a frosty sitting in front of me and a fry, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, wow.
It's good.
That's actually
really
good.
Have you actually tried it?
Oh, yeah. I've tried it multiple times because everybody keeps, like, I thought people were fucking with me the first time they told me about it. They were like, no, dude, it's so good. And I was like, no, I'm not falling for the trick of you getting me to fucking ruin my frosty and my french fry.
If you took french fries and put salt on them, or even seasoning salt, I could see, and you put cinnamon and sugar on them.
I did that at the taco shop.
That's
remember?
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, that is a weird thing. And you think french fries, but cinnamon and sugar, it's actually good.
I made a dessert. Remember that?
I can get behind that.
It was
but
crinkle
not the
cut,
thing.
Crinkle cut seasoned fries.
Yeah.
And then we put cinnamon, sugar, maple syrup and whipped cream on top of the French fry boat.
Yeah, and it makes sense.
It tastes like French toast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't taste weird at all.
Yeah,
with the French fry frosty thing.
That's crazy talk, but you have a whole set of rules that the world doesn't...
Well, the frosting thing itself would be off the table.
Dave is the
but even if I think if it wasn't, that was... There are two types of people in the world, and you can divide the line by the frosty French fry dichotomy.
Well, I'm sure you can make some sort of vegan frosty, couldn't you?
Oh, I could.
Isn't that divisible?
Dave is the... He's
but
the,
I still wouldn't do it.
He's the dietary 1%. What percentage of the population do vegans make up, actually? Do you know?
I have no idea.
You have to know that fact.
No, I don't.
I'll say it at some point.
Because I don't care about any of the other ones.
I don't care. I don't care about any of the other ones. Like, as soon as somebody starts talking, hey, oh, you're a vegan, so am I. He's like, fuck you.
I'm out of here.
Fuck out of my face.
Gotta listen to this again.
Piece of shit. Fucking human. Let's go kill a cow.
You guys have any social shout outs?
I probably do, but I was not prepared today.
I got one that came through the cabin waves. Like it came in a ninja in the night.
I felt bad because I was like not I studied, but not probably what I should have put into it.
No.
And yeah. And you know what thought popped into my head though was that one of our fans said I like you guys better when Dave does the studying.
Mike,
and you
money,
guys have no idea what you're talking
mouth,
about. And I was like, well, Mike, you're going to get what the fuck you asked for, because here it is. This is it.
So I had a Mr. Perfect AU, clearly from Australia, said, hey, Brent.
I'm going to check Twitter right now.
Hope you're well. This just amazes me, though, like what kind of an impact we can have on someone's life and the influence that it has. It's really weird. So him and his wife just had a new baby. And so in the middle of the night, in Australia, when the baby's not sleeping, they listen to the Sofa King podcast throughout the night. But his PS, awesome. Yeah, he says to say cheers to you guys, to tell you guys what's up. But his PS is, I also checked my hot sauce situation yesterday in my fridge, and I have something called El Camino. I'll be chucking that crap away and buying some Yucateco ASAP.
Nice.
So he likes that sauce. He's had that sauce.
But
he bought that sauce.
But he's ditching it for the...
Because we said so.
For the deliciousness.
He's chucking that. Yeah, he's chucking it and buying the good stuff. That's.
I did have a friend of mine named Chris Cowell sent me a text when I was at Venice Beach this week, and he said out of the blue that... I think he said, quote, you fuckers made me get online and order a whole run of El Yucateco. And then he said, I'm sad to hear that my friend has become a corporate shill.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
But he still bought the hot sauce. So I'm shilling things I like.
So nothing too crazy on Twitter, but AKA MPW, Ignatius 161. They said, just finished 9/11 part one. Absolutely amazing. How do I get a t-shirt? Well, I believe we say on the episode, you can go to sofaking.com/happy100.
Nope.
Huh?
That's not the right address. You said sofaking.com.
Sofakingpodcast.com.
There you go.
That's what I said.
It's recorded.
I know. We'll go back.
www.com.
Brattle edit.
www.com.
The podcast.
/t-shirt.
Yeah. So you can go to www.sofakingpodcast.com/happy100 and order a motherfucking t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's how you get one.
And so everybody knows if you order a shirt, I'm packing that shit up tonight. I've packed some of them. Two of them got shipped, but man, it was overwhelming, and everybody in the world wears fucking medium. I don't know what.
Yeah. Literally, we did. We contacted our shirt, Dark Side Graphics, who actually has a new website, darksidegraphics.com. And if you tell him for your order that Sofa King Podcast sent you to him, he'll give you 10% off. So apparently we're saving a lot of people money.
We are. We're saving the world 10%.
Yeah, like Vons.
One person at a time.
We had to call him in the middle of this and say, like, hey, we're going to do this deal. Can you print if we need it? And he's like, yeah. Well, immediately we're calling him saying, hey, we need these shirts.
It's so hard to anticipate because I was like, oh, probably a lot of larges or something. But it was like the first order was triple X. I was like, no. And then it was medium,
triple X.
Yeah. I would have not anticipated those.
So we have a lot of really small fans and a lot of really big fans.
Right, right.
Nowhere really in between.
No, in the middle.
That guy was like, I'm a huge fan. No, seriously. I'm a huge fan.
I like you guys a little bit, but I'm a huge fan.
I'm going to need a triple X.
The only other shout out that I'll give, because I know I'm going to forget this once we get into it. Today's topic, of course, is we're going to be looking at big pharma and looking at different pharmaceutical companies and things that they've done that are pretty shitty. And two listeners, when I put out the call for topics a couple of weeks ago, Chris Smotherman and Ben Cooper both said that we should look into Bayer. Like Bayer aspirin, right? The Bayer company. And so I figured while I'm doing this, I'm going to look into it because I was like, how bad could it be? But it's pretty fucking bad. So
we'll get there
when we get there. But I did want to give them a shout out for giving us that.
Did you do a call out online? No. Actually, I feel bad. Last call out we did online, we didn't use any of the call outs.
Because it happened kind of after. It was late. I do want to say Ectoplasm Podcast gave us a shout out about Jawadism and tried to send some people over to recruit for the cult. And I actually got a private message from someone who said, that's a beautiful thing that it's happening, but it's kind of a slippery slope. I'm a little bit worried about that could get out of hand. But no matter what, I'm in. Yeah.
That's the kind of devotion you need.
I was like, all right, there we go.
Actually, hand me some of that. What is this we're drinking today?
Somebody sent us in the mail.
And if you need to get online and tell us, because Brent lost whoever it was.
It's not even that I lost it. There was no note, no letter. There was like a return address with a name that I couldn't verify on social media. I couldn't find it anywhere. Someone sent us a bottle of Angel's Envy whiskey, which is a very nice bottle of whiskey. I looked it up, and we're drinking that right now. Thank you for the Angels and Envy, whoever sent that. So
And this might be our last podcast after drinking this.
Yeah, because there's no note. I'm thinking
we don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
So. I mean, Brent's literally opening it up. What'd you say? What was on the lid? You said
I don't even want to say.
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
So give it a taste. Right. Angel's Envy.
Angel's Envy. That's very different.
Smack smack.
Is it a bourbon?
That's different.
It's a Kentucky bourbon.
I am increasingly surprised at how different
every bottle
all these whiskeys taste. Like that has a flavor that I've never tasted before in whiskey. Like that was a crazy, it had the 20-second effect on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, wait a minute. Whoa. What's that? Like literally was all over the place. I can't pin it down even still.
Well, whoever you are who sent us the Angel's Envy, give us a shout out because we didn't. The name was probably on the packaging, but the packaging got discarded, so we're not sure.
And to all you fucking bastards that send the fake shout out, shame on you! Yeah, don't fake claim.
It's somebody's real wall whiskey. So let them get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so big pharma.
It's still coming in my mouth.
Well, yep,
my God. It's all over the place. That's a good whiskey right
that
there.
That is good.
I like that.
I normally don't like bourbon that much either, but that's a good one.
That's the best one I've tasted. Like the flavor of that one.
So big pharma, what'd you guys think? What'd you guys think going into it? Like what were you anticipating to find?
I watched Prescription Thugs, which kind of, I don't want to ruin anything for anyone. Did you watch that?
That sounds good. No.
Yeah. It's the same guy that did Bigger, Faster, Stronger talked about steroids and professional wrestling. Cause his brother was like, I think his name's like Mike Bell or something of the Bell brothers in wrestling. And I can't say too much about that. Cause I don't want to ruin some of I don't want to spoiler alert that documentary because it's a pretty good documentary, but a lot of it's hinged around that guy who does the documentary's family. And a lot of things come to light about, I mean, they were like church going, his parents were like very conservative, nerdy, like went to church, didn't even drink wine. And then they had three kids and it's a disaster. Like, and it's because of like a simple injury turning into an opioid prescription and then becoming a problem.
But the whole family gets addicted.
I don't want to say anything.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's just called Prescription Thugs. I think it's on Netflix. I don't know. I downloaded it, obviously.
And that's a funny thing, because I remember when a million years ago now, when I got my black belt in karate at the promotion, I had all the muscles in my neck were torn from a choke. And
are you stunting right now, Dave?
Huh?
I got my black belt in karate.
They don't do chokes in karate.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, okay. We do.
I know. I just wanted to get
and I took
that.
Down a guy who has a multiple degree black belt in judo.
Everybody was smaller than you, Dave. That's there was no dude that was bigger than me for sure.
He's not bigger than me.
How
but
tall
was
the guy?
He's probably 6'1".
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Brent puts
but he's got
about
he's
size.
Got he's got multiple stripes on his judo black belt. And I was the dumbass who thought, hey, I can take him to the mat, which I saw an opening and I took him down hard. And I was like fucking proud of myself. I'm like, yeah, I took him down. And then like once we were on the mat, I was like, that was a really fucking bad call. Because now I'm muscles. On the ground with the guy with multiple degrees in judo. And he tore the muscles in my neck. Anyway, I was in fucking constant pain, just like constant pain for at least a year because it took forever. And I went to every doctor I could go to, every specialist I could go to, like MRIs, everything. And basically everybody's prognosis was, well, you're fucked. Like right. Nothing you can do. And, you know, I just wanted someone to give me a time frame for how fucked I was. But every single doctor I went to, like the only thing I wanted, I couldn't sleep because the pain was so bad. The only thing I wanted was a sleeping pill because I just wanted to sleep at night.
Right.
And at the time, this was before they like unleashed advertising on pharmaceuticals and all that stuff. And at the time, I probably went to 4 different neck specialists and doctors and asked them for something to help me sleep. And no one was willing to give me a sleeping pill. Like no one, because they all said, you know, no, they're too habit forming and et cetera. Mm-hmm. But every single one of them wanted to give me opioids,
which is weird.
Like every single one of them was like, but I'll give you fucking, you know, this and this.
Well,
like,
that. Makes sense.
I was offered and I hate them. I hate taking those things. I don't like the effect. I'm just high in a weird space and in exactly as much pain as I was in the first place. I can't stand them.
Yeah.
But everyone was just throwing them at me like just fucking every time. Like every time I go to a doctor with an injury or whatever, they're like, oh, I can give you a script for this. I'm like, nope, don't want it. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. I can't say that word.
Opioids
are just, it's just a huge problem. Like there's just housewives, normal moms, people you would have no idea that are taking 40 Vicodins a day.
Yeah.
Like, and the issue with that is that's their own doing though. You know, like people say, well, I got addicted to painkillers. Well, you did because you kept taking them. Like,
you know what, man? I see the innocence in it, man. There's normal soccer moms. And the thing that happens is you check out.
Well, you have a prescription. It's legal.
Yeah. A doctor says this is okay. And people trust doctors. Yeah. So much.
When
and they trust
idiots.
Big pharma. They're like, oh, they got like cures for cancer and cures for this. And they have done a lot, you know, polio and all the things that they fixed. They have fixed a ton, but the generation of people that did that isn't there anymore. It's a new generation of med school students that's like pushed by big pharma and lobbyists and money thrown in.
But it's also, I diagnose myself on Google, you know what I mean? To, you know, medicalweb.com, whatever it is, you know, and diagnose myself, walk into the doctor's office and say, hey, I think this and this is wrong with me. Like, this is what I have. And they're like, oh yeah, sounds right. Here's a prescription or whatever. You know what I mean? Here's some cream or here's this or that.
Here's
or,
some cream. What happened? You got a story behind that?
I'm just saying.
Use this before you insert.
That was a random.
Stop having sex for 3 weeks and use this cream. And if it's still dripping. No,
to be honest, one of the reasons I like the doctor that I have so much is because if I go in there and I tell him, like I start to tell him what I think is wrong with me, he just stops me.
Right.
And he says, just tell me your symptoms.
Right.
Like, I don't want to, like, he doesn't want to hear my fucking diagnosis.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to hear what I think I have because of WebMD or a fucking medicine commercial. He wants to hear the symptoms and then he will make a diagnosis, which about half and half is what I already thought it was.
Let me tell you a story about owning a computer shop and everyone walking and going, let me start at the beginning. And I'm like, nope, let's start the end. I don't want to hear about your 15 nephews that stayed the weekend. I need to know what isn't working. Does it turn on? Nope. We're good.
Okay.
I'll figure it out.
Right.
Give me $30. Have a nice day.
Right.
Is this your correct phone number?
Yeah.
And I'm sure the doctor's the same thing. Well, you know, last week I just stepped up my exercise and my back's hurting. You're like, my back hurts. That's what you need to tell him.
Yeah.
So everybody save everybody
if
the frustration.
If he asks you, why does your back hurt? Then you continue to the story of why.
Start
your
at
back
the beginning. Start at the end. What's wrong right now?
And this, this is like a major problem with the way that the pharmaceutical industry currently works is that when the Food and Drug Administration, or not the FDA, they're complicit in all this, but when the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, established itself. It was right after World War II. I forget the exact year. I want to say it was 1947. But it was established, for the whole point was, and unlike a lot of countries in the world, the airwaves in America, the radio, the like any radio or televised thing, anything that's regulated by the FCC is, technically it belongs to the American people. So the reason that the FCC has ratings and regulations and you can't say certain things during the day is because the American people own the airwaves and they try to like regulate what would be considered decency for the American people, et cetera. So part of that was, you know, tons of regulations on who and what could be advertised because they understood that the inherent dangers of these marketing budgets to completely skew people. It used to be until the 80s, if you had an action show, a cartoon in the afternoon, you couldn't also promote a cereal with the same figure on it on television because it's cross promoting and it's getting kids to eat sugary cereal because they like this toy. But that, fuck that. Nope. We'll take that off the books. Now you can cross promote everything. You can do all this stuff.
Did I tell you about my kid's Happy Meal? It says on the side, "Hey kids, this is advertising."
No.
Like some slap in the face shit. I have a picture of it on my phone. I should post it. There's just a spot on the side of the Happy Meal box that says, "Hey kids, this is advertising." And then they proceed to fucking do whatever they're going to do. That's like,
weird. Well, it's a law because just like the web advertisement, it says this is, you know, it says advertisement or sponsored ad. You
it
know,
just seemed kind of smart ass. In. It seemed kind of snarky.
Right. Yeah, like a little tongue in cheek. Well, yeah. Like, fuck you in your mouth.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, the law says you have to do this. So why not make it funny? You
right.
Know? Yeah.
Right. Sorry, so, but they, like, I mean, really the only thing that's banned currently, I mean, I'm obviously illegal drugs and shit, but the only legal substance that you can't advertise anymore on television is pretty much tobacco. But even like booze, like hard alcohol, they just decided not to add, like the hard alcohol companies got together and said, why don't we all just decide we're not going to advertise on television because we don't want them to regulate it. Right. And then eventually a couple of years later, I forget who one of them was like, fuck that. We're just going to advertise it.
Right.
And they could still do beer, but it was like the hard alcohol. But anyway,
yeah, it was probably Budweiser during the Super Bowl or something. You know,
well, no, cause it would have been a hard liquor. Shit. I think it was a vodka.
Oh, Bacardi.
Like beer was always.
Bacardi.
Every so often they come in there, but they're,
it's not a lot.
But it used to be completely illegal
for
the drug companies to advertise their products because people are going to watch this advertisement.
I have
self-diagnose. And it's like, I mean, and I remember when they first kicked the blocks off and we were just flooded with all the, and they're horrible commercials.
Yeah.
It's always like
the side effects are way worse.
It's like 90% of the commercial
you can't get your dick hard.
Like side effects.
You might
effects,
suffer from hemorrhages in your brain, seizures, like stomach aches, like
a CGI, you know,
butterfly
piece of phlegm walking through a nose, you know, on a spring afternoon while a voice in the background says, some people may have achy legs. You know, other people who take this thing to get rid of snot find increased production of snot. It's like all this, but that shit used to be illegal because they didn't want people to self-diagnose. They wanted doctors and medical professionals to say, this is what's wrong with you and this is the way to cure it. But as soon as that changed, there's just this flood of people who are now seeing a commercial and saying, fuck, I think I can. And I remember when it first, when they first started, I remember it was the first time I ever heard of restless leg syndrome and they had a drug for restless leg syndrome. And I had like two or three people that I knew and they were like, dude, when I'm watching TV, like my leg is like bouncing up and down. Like,
you know,
I think
what?
I have restless leg syndrome.
I think
I'm like,
it started because Reagan, right? Like Reagan was the one that loosened it up. But what I saw was that Nancy Reagan's like face of war on drugs. Meanwhile, in the background, Reagan signed enough shit to let direct consumer drug advertising happen in the background.
Right.
And so what they did was they were like, okay, well, let's find a condition. Let's make a pill for it. Or we got a pill. Let's say what does it help? And they just start marketing that shit. Like restless leg is a perfect example. The real cure for that shit is less Starbucks. You probably had too much fucking caffeine.
No, restless leg syndrome is actually pain in your leg.
No, here's the thing. I think restless leg syndrome is a legitimate, probably pretty fucked up situation.
I had it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
No,
but it was from taking prescription drugs. It's because I took Flexeril for my fucking back.
Oh yeah.
No, I think like if you have nervous energy and you fucking bounce your leg up and down, you don't have fucking restless leg.
That's not what it is though. Yeah.
It's like growing pains. It was horrible.
There's like pains in your leg.
But I haven't had that shit since I was 12 when I was growing and then until I took some prescription drugs and then it fucked me up.
I constantly, when I lay in bed to go to sleep, I shake my leg. I don't have restless leg syndrome. That's just something
I do.
Almost like a baby sucks on a pacifier or somebody rocks, you know, like it's like one of those things that
Brad does a stinky leg. He falls asleep.
I stinky leg. Yeah. I stinky leg in the bed. And
Rockabye Stinky.
Yeah.
So I was even, I looked at the World Health Organization website, which is part of the United Nations, and I was looking at their discussion of marketing and pharmaceuticals, and it was pretty, I was like, wow, yep, pretty much. And they said, quote, they're talking about marketing for pharmaceutical drugs on television, and it says that it is, quote, an inherent conflict of interest between the legitimate business goals of manufacturers and the social, medical, and economic needs of providers and the public to select and use drugs in the most rational way. Like the WHO basically says this is fucking dangerous for global health because you're going to walk away thinking you need a drug that you don't need.
I think we're one of two countries in the world or something, right? That allows direct market advertising, or maybe that was at a specific time, but like
that, most, I don't know.
Yeah. Most other places don't allow that.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
I even read a stat on their website, even in the UK where, there's more restrictions and so forth on that. Pharmaceutical companies still spent 50 times more money on public commercials than any public information on health. So it's like if there's like, you know, public things from the government, even in a very restricted place where there isn't very much of it, there's 50 times more stuff saying, go take this drug, go take this drug, than there is like regular health information from the government. So, I mean, the marketing is out there in fucking crazy amounts. And then part of it is also that they market directly to the doctors, which is even more fucked up than marketing to the, because ultimately if you have a good doctor, you should show up and you're going to say, hey, this is what I think I need. And the doctor's going to be like, nope, that's not at all what you need. You know, but they
or
now
it might be, you never know, but
no, it might be, it might be.
Well, one thing about marketing to people is that, you know, pharmaceutical companies pay people to go in and sell drugs to doctors and try and get them to write the prescriptions like Dave's talking about. The other thing is when you market to people on TV and like, say it's I think I have that, the restless leg syndrome. Right. I'm going to go into my doctor and market that pill to my doctor.
Yeah, you
because you're
going to
go in and say, "Hey, I saw this pill on TV," and the more that they hear that, they might look into it and maybe start, you know, writing out scripts for it. So, makes sense. And I mean, they're doing it, you know.
And it's I even saw the pharmaceutical industry spends $3 billion a year marketing to customers. Right. This was in 2013. Right. Yeah. They spent $3 billion doing commercials, airtime, et cetera, specifically on television. They spent $24 billion that year marketing to doctors.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. I mean, I'm a professor. I get free books all the time. Like book companies send me books because if I decide I like this book, I myself am going to sell potentially thousands of these books.
How much $1 billion is. No one thinks about that. That quantity is like unquantifiable. Like you can't even think about it in your head. In the last 10 years, the top 11 companies made $711 billion.
So crazy.
That's so much money.
So crazy. And
I
remember
what they spent on lobbyists, though, that they have 1,000, the pharmaceutical big pharma employees, 1,445 lobbyists against how many people are in Congress? It's like less than 60 or something. So, or however many, Congress members, there's like less than 60 or something. Not like 200 Congress members.
200.
I don't know. Whatever,
that's the House. That's the House.
Yeah. Whatever it averages out to, they spend $440,000+ per congressman in lobbying for big pharma.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers, but it was crazy. I was like, God, that's $500,000 per person.
They give, you know, they'll do like excessive things like send doctors to quote unquote, like they'll establish a conference that's in Jamaica that's like
Sandals,
5 days long.
Yeah.
And like there's really, you're not expected to do anything, but they'll be like, hey, doc, we want to send you and your loved ones to this conference, you know.
But it's not
and
a
then
conference.
It's not a conference, but they can't just send you on vacation or else they can accuse you of doing a kickback.
Yeah.
You know, they do this. And I remember for years I got, I had to get either once or twice, at first it was twice a week and then once a a week, I would get an allergy shot because I was trying to get like the allergy desensitization thing. So I would have to go in every week and get a shot. And usually based on my work schedule, I would show up right around lunch, like right before they closed for lunch. I was usually one of the last ones in to get a shot.
When the salesperson's there.
Exactly. Almost every day. It didn't matter. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever day I showed up, while they were getting ready to turn the lights off and I was getting ready to leave, some sort of pharmaceutical rep walked in probably 75% of the time, walked in with samples, like all, you know, night. They look like newscasters with like perfect hair and dressed really well. And they would walk in with a bunch of like a fucking platter of sandwiches. And they would walk in with a tray of lasagna. And they, I mean, every single time I was there, they showed up with free lunch for the entire staff of the office.
No, I've talked to girls that are like, oh, I'm gaining weight because drug reps keep bringing like taquito platters every friggin' day.
Donuts in the mornings.
In private doctor's offices, like the patient to pharmaceutical rep ratio, there are more reps every day than there are patients. That's a true fact that I have from like a reliable source about, from a local doctor's office.
Think about how many pills there are. You know what I mean? And how all how many companies
different
there
stuff.
Are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did. And that specific topic, the idea of how much they spend marketing to doctors, there was a Last Week Tonight, maybe a year ago, with John Oliver, and he looked at all of this and he pointed out a website called Dollars for Docs. I would just Google it. I won't read you the URL, but it's called Dollars for Docs. And if you go on there, it's a database of like any of the public filings where pharmaceutical reps have given donations to doctors and so forth. They have to publicly claim it.
That's
so if you search for your doctor's name, you can see who whether or not they're getting kickbacks.
That's why he keeps getting me to try and take this drug.
Yeah. No, my stepdad has
my doctor wasn't on it. I was very
happy. My stepdad
happy.
Has a problem with his back and they forced him to take Zoloft. He's like, I don't want to take
it. He doesn't want to. Well, because you could get depressed from having back issues and
no, he said, I don't care.
Do.
This is about
No, because they did the same thing for me when I tore my neck.
Right.
That was another thing that one of them said, because nothing was giving me pain relief. And they said, well, if you don't want the opioids, then they actually recommended Zoloft.
Yeah.
And they had me try it for a couple of weeks because they said there was something about the way that it does like its serotonin uptake inhibiting blocking and all that stuff. It said it can also, in a lot of cases,
because it makes you a zombie.
Pain. It blocks the neural connection that causes some of your pain in some cases. So they had me try it. So it didn't do anything and I quit taking it.
Yeah, he did it for like a couple days. He's like, I don't feel okay on this. I don't want to take this. He went back and they strong armed him. This is what they said. They said, we are going to blood test you. And if you don't take the Zoloft, you can't have your actual pain medicine then. So they,
fuck?
He's like, I don't want to take Zoloft.
Yeah, I'd be going to a different doctor's office reporting.
Yeah. So, and when he was in the lobby waiting, someone like, I guess they heard multiple, because you can overhear the conversation of the other patients coming up.
Zoloft.
And they're like,
Zoloft,
I need more Zoloft. I need more Zoloft. I need my Zoloft. That doctor has some kind of shady thing with Zoloft.
Fuck yeah, he does.
Sounds like
throwing out Zoloft.
Yeah.
Did you guys also know that they have beef flavored dog Zoloft? They have antidepressants for dogs that are beef flavored. I could not.
How do you know when your dog's
that.
Depressed? Like, that's what I want to know. Like,
so I watched. Does your dog care if it's fucking beef flavored?
In that movie, the one I watched, he walks up to a guy in the street and he's like, hey man, he's like, I don't know how they figured out this guy.
I want
the dog on
that. Flavored Zoloft.
He said, hey, have you ever taken antidepressant? He's like, yeah, I took Wellbutrin for 3 months, you know, about 2 years ago or something. And I didn't like the way it made me feel. He's like, so then you put your dog on it. Like, he's like, I guess you got a good point there. He's like, so what was up? He's like, oh, you know, just general behavior. He just wasn't acting right. He seemed like he was down. And they give the dog Zoloft. Yeah. That is crazy. I can't believe that.
Seemed like he was down.
He just needed a tennis ball and some fucking pepperonis.
And a fucking walk.
Yeah.
You know?
Or maybe how old is he? 12 years old? Well, he's old, motherfucker. Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, it's, and then, but again, that's all part of it is the one thing that the pharmaceutical company saw that I uncovered quite a lot was that they'll have a drug that's already in the market for one thing, like the reason it was invented,
so,
the thing that it does.
Prozac, for example.
It was beef Prozac, by the way.
Beef Prozac.
Is it Prozac? Okay, it so Prozac. You have Prozac. And Prozac is actually popular for rebranding.
Yes.
So they have another one, Prozac for women. It's called Seraphim.
Yes. Right?
So They took Prozac, changed the name to Seraphim, and are labeling it, oh, because it does this, this, and this, you know, during your menstruation period, you know, you can take this and it'll, you know, help.
It happens even on like the consumer level. Like there's all those sleep aids. It's just Benadryl.
Yeah.
Like if you go look at it and flip it over, it is 5 milligrams of hydro,
just
whatever.
Put your ass to sleep. Yeah.
It says sleep aid. It's just Benadryl. Yeah. And it's like $12 more. You're like, the Benadryl's right there.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, you get it at $1.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Like the Seraphim, like it's just Prozac, but you're not taking, Prozac. It's a pink pill.
It's a pink pill.
You're not
pink
taking
packaging.
Prozac. This is just my medicine for this. You know,
it's brilliant branding. It's got femme in the end. So it's feminine. It's Seraphim, which is the name of an angel. So it's all fucking angelic, like all this stuff. And, but the thing is, it's at the very end of the, it's usually at the end of a drug's life cycle. And then somehow there's some kind of loophole they can exploit where when you're saying it's for a completely different thing, you can keep it from getting categorized as generic.
Right.
So Prozac is still going to be generic, which is just going to be fluoxetine hydrochloride. And you can, if you get right now, I mean, it's fucking.
You meant fluoride is what you meant.
No, it's not fluoride.
It's fluoride.
It's not fluoride.
But. Because Prozac came out in the fucking 60s.
Right.
So it's generic now. Unless you're an idiot, you're buying generic Prozac if you take Prozac. But as soon as they call it Seraphim, this drug is its own drug. Because it's not for depression. It was for premenstrual dysphoric disorder. So now it's a new drug with a new purpose, and we can now charge full price for it. And that's,
I think
it'd
be based off the molecular composition, like the actual patent composition. You know what
you
I mean?
Would think,
not
but
a name.
Well, but the, well no, it's not just the name. It's the
it
purpose.
Treats something
of,
different.
Now it treats something different.
Right.
So it's like when they say Zoloft is there to treat pain, it probably fucking doesn't. And it probably never has.
Yeah.
But the reps are claiming that it does. And the FDA constantly busts them for saying this drug treats, you know, which was designed to treat this thing. Look, it also treats this thing. And then they get busted for hundreds of millions of dollars of fines because the FDA says we have no evidence that it does this. You're just making this fucking claim.
And I can't figure out what the reimbursement, like what's the, I saw something that justified it, but I think my kid was yelling in the background or something, but it was how do the doctors actually benefit from that other than going to Fiji and getting like taquito platters all week? Because it doesn't seem like that'd be enough to make them, you know, be evil. Like, is it because you need to get a refill on like, you know, prescription pain meds? And so they have to come back every 30 days and they get their $30 copay, which is actually more.
I have
the
no
insurance
idea.
Reimbursement.
I don't know what the compensation is for the doctors to fall for this.
Cause clearly it's overprescribed, right? So like I saw an interview with a doctor that was talking about bipolar disorder. He's like, that's a very uncommon disorder for someone to actually be bipolar. But in the last five years, the occurrence of it in diagnosis is 5,000 times greater in the last 5 years.
And this is something that I wonder if like autism people and ADHD people understand, because not saying that this is the case, but because Big Pharma pushes these certain medications and everything else. Yeah. ADHD has risen. Yeah. Autism has risen. But what medication are they taking? Are they prescribing things? You know what I mean?
And are those numbers rise because of diagnosis, because of overprescription, because of the secret machine behind prescribing?
And like I said, I'm not saying that's the reason, but I'm saying there's a possibility there.
I think they're quick to do it, though. Oh, my kid's not paying attention. Cool,
okay,
Adderall.
Give them this. Yeah.
Did you know that Adderall is like, it is the same molecular like structure as meth? Yeah, it's meth. Yeah. It's just in a bottle with a cool sticker and the doctor said it's okay.
Because for ADHD, when you're overactive and you're hyperactive, everything like caffeine slows you down.
It's reverse, for kids. Yeah.
And that's how I can drink a soda before I go to bed.
Right.
I could pound a Red Bull and go to sleep and sleep like a baby.
Fall asleep doing stinky leg.
Yeah. Yeah. Rock myself right to sleep.
That's why you're doing the stinky leg. Yeah. You can't have Red Bull at bedtime, Brad.
Sure you can. I go right to sleep. If I don't have caffeine, then my brain just keeps, it just keeps going, it keeps going, it keeps going. So it does have a reverse effect.
I was going to say the scary thing I saw was the FDA approval process. And I think we talked about that in some episode before, but all they have to do is provide two positive independent study publications. And so they could have like 50 negative publications because they get to choose the party that does the third party that does it.
Yeah.
And they have these places that are like, you know, Dyla approval pretty much, you know, like we'll throw enough money at it until we get this result, and they'll throw it at 50 companies and then pick the best two and present those to the FDA and then get fast tracked through and get it onto the market. And the problem that happens, like, people are dying because they're over prescribing. Not every pill doesn't work for every person. People die. We don't even realize it. Like, I'm going to throw out this number. Oh, here it is right here. Every 19 minutes, someone dies from overdose of a prescribed medication.
That's fucking crazy.
That is fucking insane.
Because they're taking the recommended
every
dosage.
Every 19 minutes.
Now, is that because they took too many or because that's what the doctor prescribed
them? It's considered an accidental overdose.
Wow.
So I don't know. It's like people that went to bed and thought, okay, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to take my Lunesta, take my Vicodin, I'm going to bed, whatever. Didn't wake up.
Or if the other thing is that there's just unlimited potential for fucking like crossovers. Like if you're taking a pill, like you might be taking a sleeping medication and you might be taking an anti-anxiety medication and they're the same category of drug.
Right.
So you've now like quadrupled the effective dosage of something because you don't know that these two drugs are in the same, they have the same molecular chemical effect.
Yeah. And Brent, it fucks Brent people took up. A Prozac and a Seraphim right before bed.
Exactly. Exactly.
You remember when my back was hurting, I was going down that list because I freak out. I overread it. I'm like, I'm not taking it. I go to the doctor and get the pills. I go to the pharmacy, pay. I sit in my car, Google it, and I'm like, nope, not taking this. And I shove that shit in the center console. There were 670 severe reactions, like medical or what is it?
670 like out of interactions, of thousands of.
No, with other medications. Adverse reactions if you were taking another medication. Because the doctor always goes, are you taking anything else? It's a quick little question that the girl writes down on a piece of paper. And if you don't say it right or you're embarrassed that you're taking some other shit that you don't want to talk about and you don't give them right, you could
and
die.
And here's the thing. I used to go to a different pharmacy that was clear across town, like a little independent local pharmacy. And it was before I went to my current doctor, and I just went to some random fucking doctor, part of a clinic, and they would like fucking. And again, whenever they would give me a prescription at this like part of this, I won't say the name of the clinic, but it was a medical clinic with multiple doctors that worked there, and they got fucking sued and shut down and all this fucking shit. But you would go in there and they would be like, oh, you know, I'm going to give you a prescription, and they wouldn't give you a generic prescription. Like their prescription would specifically say, do not use generic, only use this. Yeah. And they would give you like a week or two worth of free samples because they just had fucking closets full of this shit sitting around there. And I would go to my pharmacist, and the pharmacist twice on two different occasions came up and said, I can't fill this prescription because it's going to have a bad effect based on this other prescription that you're currently taking.
God, how
and it's like my doctor didn't fucking like at the time, my current doctor, if I mention a drug, he'll be like, I'm not going to give you that because you're also taking this. Right. And he'll make that call in advance. And he never gives me samples because he doesn't have any, which means they're not showing up and fucking buying his staff lasagna.
He's the motherfucker that drives to work in a Hyundai, though.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a doctor.
Yeah. I was talking to my mom this morning at breakfast about it, about that we were doing this. And she was talking about like my grandfather, and it kind of hit home, is like he said the doc, if you go to the doctor, they'll kill you. And he was fine. This dude like dug rocks out of the backyard. I mean, he was old. He was approaching 70 at the time, and he was fine. He went to the doctor because like one little thing was, I don't remember what was happening. Like his foot was hurting or something. He had like broke a little bone in his foot. He went, they did a blood work. They said, oh, you have like onset diabetes, something, start taking this. And you have this other thing, start taking this. So he started taking those two meds, had some side effects from that, fucking fell, broke his foot worse, had to have foot surgery, got an infection in his foot, had to take this other shit. He died 4 years after he started going to the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and that could be coincidence too, but that's almost true. Like I kind of have a rule in my life where I'll take a prescription, but I won't take two.
Right.
You know what I mean? Cause that's a slippery slope.
So I got a stat for that. So three in the United States, 3 out of 10 people are taking at least 5 prescriptions.
Yeah.
That's
because
crazy.
Well, because you start taking a prescription and then you get high
side
blood
effects,
pressure.
Yeah.
And then, oh, we're going to give you this to
knock,
you
know, that
knock
part
the
down.
Knock the blood pressure down.
Oh, now your dick won't get hard. Yeah.
Now, oh, here's some Viagra.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, or whatever, you know, like that's the going roller coaster.
It's a slippery slope.
Of pharmaceuticals.
And part of it is, I mean, I don't consider the pharmaceutical any better or worse than booze or weed or caffeine.
Yeah.
It's just that we know booze and weed and caffeine because people have been doing them for thousands of years and we already know the interactions and the side effects and the long-term effect. Like, it's already known on these things.
Yeah, you know,
like,
when you're drinking, your liver is
right, exactly. I know it in advance, and I know, I already know it probably will not mix well with some medication or whatever, but it's like, I forget the name of the drug. I was reading something about one particular drug, and it was given to women in the 70s, and then it turns out that some ridiculous percentage of the daughters of the women who were on this medication when they became adults started to get tumors on their reproductive organs because of some fucking random pill that their mom took, you know, before they were, and it wasn't even like it was the pregnancy window. It wasn't that they were in the womb while they were taking this drug. Right. It was that the mom took this drug. So their daughter had tumors like these drugs. And it's like, even if I mean, I understand that you have to do a lot of research and development. I understand that you have to test all this stuff. And if you tested it as thoroughly as that, there would never be any new medication coming out. I can't wait for three fucking generations.
We have to guinea pig ourselves a little
bit. At some point, the medicine has to get released. But that's, I mean, but part of the problem is we don't know the side effects. I mean, I would trust an older drug over a newer drug.
Yeah.
If I was given the choice between something that came out in the 70s, I'm more likely to take that than something that came out in the 2010s because we've already had 40 years of
that. There's an argument too about that too, about how, you know, cancer treatment, for example, we talked about this, is we're using outdated drugs.
Shit from
the
70s,
how outdated is it? I mean, you say that seems true. Like, we know all the side effects, we know everything, but then here we are with that argument where cancer treatment, we're using old ass drugs.
Because it switched to the things like, those people are going to die. There's the oncology. They can use that. It works, but there's a whole new emerging market of, like, your hair's falling out, your dick is not getting hard.
So
prescription eyelash medication, Batiste or whatever it is, to make your eyelashes longer.
What?
You know what I mean? Yeah, millions of dollars spent on your fucking eyelashes getting longer when you could be saving fucking lives.
Yours are looking luscious, by the way.
I didn't say I didn't use it. I can't even wear my glasses anymore. That's I'm supposed to wear glasses.
Yeah, it pushes them off throughout the day.
I'm supposed to wear glasses, but it's so annoying because my lashes just hit it.
I mean, I take double the dose and I can actually feel my eyelashes growing. Right now, feels like worms are coming.
If
out
I
of
take
my eyes.
Latrice or whatever and Viagra at the same time, it's a disaster.
It's because your dick and your pubes are just like
rock hard.
They're like racing. It's like the rabbit,
and then you have no more
tortoise.
Blood in your body, and you pass out.
I can hang wet towels from my eyelashes. Hint, hint.
How many?
Brad, that was the creepiest laugh you've ever laughed.
Oh man, how many women can you fuck with your eyelashes? That's what I want to know.
But no, I think that's a very important part of what's going on is the R&D budgets, the research and development budgets. I mean, I was looking, Johnson & Johnson has an 8.2, again, this is in 2013, they had an $8.2 billion research and development budget, which is a massive budget. They have $8 billion to spend developing new drugs. They had a $17 billion marketing budget. Novartis had just under $10 billion research and development, but they had almost $15 in marketing. Pfizer had a $6 billion research and development, almost $12 billion in marketing, et cetera. I mean, it's across the board. I mean, the marketing is where it's at. But even in the research and development, like I was reading, like a bunch of people were decrying pharmaceutical companies because apparently there's been a lot of claims that have been coming out that there's specific cancers that can be treated more effectively if you're taking a daily dose of aspirin.
Right.
Yeah. And no pharmaceutical companies are researching it. But at the end of the day, why the fuck would they? They make no money on aspirin. I can go to Costco and get a year's worth of aspirin for $8.
Yeah.
Like, Pfizer isn't going to spend money
to
decide.
Is this a Bayer segue?
No.
It should be.
No, it couldn't. We could use it for that. But it's like, the government is going to have to be the one who sponsors research for things like that, because a pharmaceutical company is far more interested selling a fucking eyelash medicine, because there's going to be a bunch of vain motherfuckers out there who want pretty eyelashes, and they're going to be willing to spend who knows how much money on this pill, you know, especially an eyelash medication is going to be a slam dunk, because odds are an insurance company is going to be like, nope, if you want luscious eyelashes, you're paying full price out of pocket. So you're going to, you know, whatever. I mean, the They're yeah, not researching aspirin. Eyelashes, they're not researching, yeah. you know, things
shit
like that.
Work, yeah.
Right. Shit that works, like yeah. a fairly safe drug like aspirin. The pharmaceutical companies with their massive budgets aren't doing that research because they don't stand to gain any money.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, again, I can't blame them. They're a corporation. They have to have
well,
a
you
bottom
have,
line.
You have two crazy sides to this because you have, you know, these, obviously these huge corporations that are making money hand over fist off of people's illness.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the other side where you have a conspiracy side where it's so into this conspiracy theory that these companies and the government are out to get you that you're leaning on these home remedies.
Right.
I don't know how many home remedies I've ever used that actually work.
Right.
I've been online. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll try that. I'll try some apple cider vinegar and
right.
you know, this and that. And fucking never works.
No.
Like, I mean, you know, there's so many things out there. Like you hear like the colloidal silver.
Right.
It cures cancer. It does this. It does that.
Right.
Anemia, all this
you're
shit.
You're a werewolf. You
but
can't
yeah,
do that shit,
but I
Brad.
Mean, you fucking, you have cancer and you start, and you're taking that shit, you're dead. You know what I mean? Like
there was I had an acupuncturist and he recommended that because of the pain in my neck, I keep coming back to that because that was where I tried the most
yeah.
different remedies and so forth. And he gave me this crazy fucking bark and he told me to make a tea out of it. And
yeah.
he said, it's going to taste disgusting, but it's going to help my neck. And I did it and it helped my neck as much as any over the counter. Like I could,
yeah.
like I
yeah,
could
yeah.
tell it yeah. I couldn't really, I take that back.
It didn't help. A small amount of relief.
It didn't help yeah. my neck, but it helped my knee because my neck was so bad. Nothing helped it. But if I took something, I would be like, oh, well my knee feels better. This thing must be helping a little bit. But then when I went back to him, I was like, oh, that actually did help a little bit. What is it? And it's fucking willow tree bark, which is what they fucking make aspirin out of. So why didn't I just fucking take aspirin?
So and not drink the shitty ass tea.
I'm drinking 3,000 year old fucking nasty Chinese tea and I have a fucking bottle full of aspirin in my cupboard.
So a couple other things I saw was prescription drugs kill more people than car wrecks every year.
Which and that's was, a lot.
Yeah. I thought that wow. was kind of crazy.
Yeah. And your fucking Viagra doesn't have an airbag. So,
and the biggest one that always hits home is that it's what an American problem it is. So we represent 5% of the world's population.
Well,
we
just
consume.
like obesity. I mean, America represents everything that's horrible in the world.
No, we do. So the stat is 5% of the population is what America represents.
Am
right?
I wrong?
And we consume 75% of the prescription drugs.
Jesus.
So clearly that direct consumer marketing thing plays a role. And the creepier thing that was bothering me was the direct to child marketing now.
Yeah.
Because now they have like, mom, I can't pay attention in school. And it's like, my daughter was having trouble in class, blah, blah, blah. And they give them meth. They're giving them meth. I know you said a stimulant will slow them down. That's true.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing I was watching is like this teenage girl was having trouble focusing in school. And there are kids that have ADHD, but it's probably more because we have the instant gratification, microwaved hot pockets, tablets, and all our crazy little things.
Well, kids have a short attention span in the first place.
And some of it might have to do with that whole neural pathway
yeah.
development
so,
based
kids are
off
different.
Of the
kids
environment
are different.
That we're
right.
growing
yeah.
up
right.
in.
Kids are different. Yeah.
But the thing is, the mom took one in this thing that I watched and she got addicted and started trying to tell her daughter, like, you don't have ADHD. You just need to focus in class so that she could justify.
So she could take her daughter's meds.
And then she got hooked on Adderall and then was going and yeah. filling her daughter's prescription, taking a normal mom. That's what I was saying. Like in the beginning, you're like, yeah, but it's their fault. They took it.
It's ADHD is a real thing. I mean, our buddy Steve, who's been on the podcast, he's an adult who suffers from ADHD.
No, it's a real legit
I'm going to have to say that, like, if it's a thing, I probably have a form of it.
I have a form of it too. I know because one of the reasons that I can't read, not that I can't read
right.
the words, but I can't sit down and read a book because I start reading. And then as I'm reading, I stop reading. I'm still reading,
right,
but I'm thinking about something
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
by the time I get done reading the page, I don't remember what
you
I
have
just
to go
read.
Back and start
I
over.
It takes me an hour to read a page right. on a book. And then I'm like, nope, can't do it. Put it down. Like, this yeah. is not going to work out.
Well, I saw I think it was on that same movie. There was like an interview with a doctor and he talked about going through med school and that they don't focus on like pain management and the risk of addiction in anyway, he said in his entire time in med school, he had like one portion or one lecture that focused on pain management
yeah.
and it basically downplayed the risk factor yeah. of addiction. They said, you can prescribe these things. They're not going to get addicted if used right for 30 days or whatever. But we know that's not the case.
Yeah.
Like they'll go to multiple doctors. There's no central database that can cross-reference yet that, oh, this doctor already gave this guy
right.
30 Vicodin.
People get addicted to eating cheese puffs.
There was
you
a
know
guy,
what I mean?
Listen
like,
to this. There was a guy going to 78 doctors
Jesus.
And driving like 100 plus Ooh. Miles in a circumference and getting Vicodin, Oxycontin, all that stuff from 78 separate doctors. And then he would go,
how
he
does
had it
insurance
so planned
not
out.
Fucking catch this?
And he would go to Walgreens. There's like no cross references, the problem. There's no accountability. He would go to Walgreens, CVS.
Well, he might have had to pay cash.
Rite Aid.
Maybe.
But then he's selling the pills. That's the trick. He was doing that. Yeah. He was selling the pills. So there was an
making
interview.
More money. So
there was
an
interview
he's got
guy.
Money to do it. Yeah.
He goes to like the top congressman, this guy, I can't think of the guy's name, an Asian guy. He's a congressman and he is like the guy Harry Wong. That was his name. Actually, now that I think about it, he is like the guy that's going after pharmaceuticals. Of all the guys, he's not taking the $400,000 and he's trying to attack it. So that guy goes in and tells him, he's like, well, you could just buy it on Craigslist. He's like, what do you mean? That's illegal. That's against the law. He's like, yeah, man, people break the law. This congressman, albeit his heart was in the right place and his intent's in the right place. And he's fighting this political dumbed down version up on his, you know, his soapbox about like, we need to stop this. We need to stop this. He's fucking clueless. The guy pulls out an iPad and shows him, look, types in whatever. He said, look, we can buy this right here, right now. I can have this in 15 minutes from this guy. He's like, I don't understand. That's illegal. I don't understand. He's like, yeah, man. Like
criminals don't follow the fucking law. Right. That's why they're criminals, you dumb motherfuckers.
That's the same thing.
The guns and the fucking everything else in the fucking world.
So then
Jesus
that guy's
Christ.
Like, oh shit, I just narked everybody out. The congressman has like some like official press conference. And like, if you sell drugs on Craigslist, you're going to jail. Boom, boom. They contacted Craigslist. They said, if you have these keywords on Craigslist, that needs to be removed. Those listings have to be removed.
They go around.
But he was so, that's the thing.
Search Girl Scouts.
They get in their fucking BMW and they drive to some fucking office and they get on the phone and there's some letters and some calls from some people that are concerned and they go to a meeting and they don't read 1,000-page fucking thing that's supposed to pass through whatever and they vote how their buddy's going to vote. That guy had no fucking clue and his whole thing was to fight against prescription drug use and he didn't even know that they could sell that shit on Craigslist.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right. It's crazy. I always look at 4x4 listings like for trucks or
4x4. Okay.
Yeah, like off-road stuff. And you know, you just search. I have no intent to buy anything, but I just, you know, you never know what you run across, you know, or somebody wants something. So I look at Broncos, you know, Blazers, Scouts. So you search Scout, an old Scout, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. International Scout from the 70s. And you search Scout and marijuana listings, you know, cannabis, just Girl Scout cookies. You know what I mean? Just
why Scout? What Scout have you?
Girl Scout cookies. Like, you know what I mean? Like Girl Scout. Uh-huh. That's
just a code word or something?
Well, Scout is just one of the search terms. But if you search Scout on Craigslist, just these Girl Scout cookies come up, you know, for cannabis,
right.
You know? And you're just like, so no, I'm sifting through.
Though. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It's keyword.
I just understand the association with Scout and Girl Scout and weed.
Well, Girl Scout, Scout is the word, right?
I understand Scout is a word.
Yes. Yeah, so
I don't understand what
Scout.
It has to do with weed, though. Why is that coming up?
Well, because it's called Girl Scout cookies. Like, that's a type of weed. It's a type of cannabis, right?
Okay.
Strain.
Okay. I did not know that.
So,
strain.
So, you search Scout and I'm sifting through hundreds and hundreds of listings of cannabis just to find like 3 postings of a Scout.
Right.
Like, yeah. So
who makes that Scout?
What, international?
Yeah, so that's what you need to search, apparently, yeah.
No, people just put Scout too.
Right.
Like there's
they
no, sometimes they won't
put
international. Yeah.
They're not going to sell it. One crazy thing I saw was the formulation for OxyContin. Like, people will smash it, snort it, inject it. They do all kinds of stuff. They did something to change the formulation so that it couldn't be crushed and that couldn't be done anymore. I don't know what they did, but the total revenue.
If it can't be crushed, how do you digest it?
I don't know what they did exactly, but they changed the formulation so that that couldn't happen and it dropped, the revenue dropped by 80%.
Wow.
So you know what that means? That means that motherfucker was 80% overprescribed.
Yeah.
That means that 80% of the people that stopped buying it were buying it because
maybe like some people like gummy vitamins.
They just chomp them up?
Yeah.
That's
like,
the thing.
Like I got to snort my OxyContin.
Right.
Because if not, it doesn't have that same effect. So it works better.
Wow. And that's the problem is like you acclimate to that stuff. People take 2 Vicodin and they're like, my back still hurts. I got to take 4 now. And then you can't get that script. You know what I mean? So you have to go to Craigslist because you can't get that script. They'll write you 30 a day and it's not doing it anymore. So then what do? They step you up to Norco, which is twice a Vicodin. Yeah. Now you're taking those. And then I know people, dude, I personally know people that would take 10 Norco 10 Vicodin at a time and just chew that shit.
They're just killing them.
They were doing 40. Like I have friends that were doing 40 Vicodin
bars
a day.
Bars on bars.
A day. Damn. Like how do you even, like that's a month. That's over a month prescribed and they're taking it in a day. So that habit, man, like that's crazy. And they would it's just, I don't understand. Like the things you have to do to keep that habit.
Yeah, I don't understand why you'd want to do that.
No. And there's people that are worse. On some of that documentary, there are people that are taking 90 Vicodins a day.
Jesus.
How is that?
Christ.
Because it would kill us.
Oh, fuck yes.
If I took 90 a day, I'd be dead.
Well, it's a built-up tolerance. Yeah, they built up to it. It's just like drinking. It's just like anything. Like, you can...
Fuck.
You can die from marijuana, man.
But in 2010,
there were... too many blunts.
There were 250 million opioid scripts written in 2010. 250 million scripts. Or opioid. I cannot say that word. Opioid.
There's 300 million people in America.
Opiates. Yeah.
Just say opiates.
Opiates. No.
There's 300 million people in America and 250 prescriptions were written for opioids.
And I saw an interview. The guy was like, here's the deal. He's like, I've done heroin. I've done Oxycontin. It's the same thing. It just comes in a cool little blue pill in a bottle with a sticker, and the doctor said it was okay. He's all, that shit's heroin. It feels just the same.
Well, guess why it's called an opioid?
It comes from the same thing.
Exactly, because it's a fucking opiate. It all comes from fucking poppies. Like it's
nice, clean version that some dude didn't give you in a Ziploc bag that you didn't boil in a spoon and stick in your arm. You just swallowed it in a nice blue pill.
Yeah, it's some fucking Walter White grade shit is all that's going on here.
I see. There was a dude who got busted on his drug test at one of my jobs, and he said it was he popped up for opiates and opioids.
Like I could say
opiates.
Yeah. Opiates.
And he said he ate a poppy seed muffin that morning. That's why he got
Mythbusters did that. Did you see that? Adam Savage ate a lemon poppy seed loaf and he fucking failed the drug test for like 3 days. That's awesome. That's the truth. I think I can't remember, the other guy had to eat bagels, but Adam ate a poppy seed loaf. Like it's more than you should probably eat.
Yeah, it's not a muffin.
You're supposed to eat like a slice of that shit. He ate the whole little pound cake looking loaf and he failed that drug test for like 3 days. That's the truth. You really can't eat poppy seed.
That and all the opium he smoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was for the show. He's off.
It's gonna be a fun show. I don't believe it. They sold out. Like Mythbusters sold out a long time ago.
There was a short video of a pharmaceutical rep sales rally in Vegas.
Oh God.
And it was fucking fireworks and fucking.
And they were all on ecstasy and shit.
Yeah, they were going crazy.
Legal pills.
They were all taking samples.
Yeah, they had everyone of them had a fucking suitcase full of samples.
Everybody wanted to meet the Pfizer rep so they could get some Viagra.
It was a pill party.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Fucking, I don't think there were fireworks. I think everybody was just so high.
Rock hard lashes everywhere.
Yeah.
The guy walks out and he said, there are people in this room that will make ungodly amounts of money. Who wants to be a millionaire? Let's do this. And it was like a rock concert. Fireworks go off. Dudes in suits are like running around with their lanyards, just screaming about
running around with their lanyards.
Yeah, it was a bunch of old nerdy dudes with fucking lanyards that said Pfizer on them.
I think you'd have a way better chance of selling if you're just a hot woman. Like,
I'm sure
big titties, big ass.
Yeah.
And you just wear pencil skirts with, cleavage showing and just you
Penny
just make
on Big Bang Theory. That's what she becomes on Big Bang Theory. She becomes a pharmaceutical rep.
No, I do. I am curious. It's one thing. I wish I would have looked into it because I don't know what the doctors get for it. Unless it's just purely vacations and kickbacks and free lunch. I mean, maybe that's enough. If I know that my staff is going to get free lunch.
The thing is, in the oil fields, dudes get houses bought for them. You know what I mean? Like there's guys with multiple houses that corporations, not going to say any names, Weatherford bought for people. That's just a true thing. Like they go to court, eventually they get caught and busted or whatever, But, they probably get houses, cars.
Get that reoccurring, client base of they have to come every 30 days and you have a $30 copay or a $15 copay, but that's not what they bill the insurance.
Yeah.
So let's say that I don't know what the number
is. Of dollars.
It might be $200 for the visit. Yeah. So if they get $200 every 30 days from one person, it's $3,600. $200 a year? Was it $212? Yeah. $2,400 a year per patient. And they've got hundreds of patients.
And that's just for that. That's not for
that's just writing for the pain the script. Yeah. And then they probably, then they do get the kickbacks. And so it could even just be the reoccurring office visit that's required for pain medication specifically.
Well, and they get the, they
yeah,
get,
for the
they
refills
get,
every,
because
they
have to go to get the refill.
Yeah, they get kickbacks. If you were a doctor and you were just smashing on this pill, like just you're their top salesman in the county for this pill, you're getting something. You know what I mean? Your house is getting upgraded.
I saw an interview with one of the pharma reps, and she had quit because like her niece or her daughter or someone had actually died from something that she was prescribed, and she started to like take a look at it again because she was just like in there slinging it, you know, selling it, getting her commission check, and never really questioning.
You don't want to look at the evil that you're doing.
But a family member died, and she put it in perspective, and then so she started talking about stuff, and they questioned. She said the biggest, one of the biggest scams. So hear this loud, because I've been tried. They've tried to prescribe it three times to me, and I said no. So is antistatin medications, which are cholesterol medications. She said that is the biggest joke of the entire industry. It is a fake thing. Like, yes, some people have high cholesterol, but you're more likely to die if you're over the age of 55 from low cholesterol.
Yeah.
Cholesterol is so important to the human body. Your brain doesn't work. Your body doesn't function. If you take an antistatin medication, you stop producing cholesterol.
That's
so you rely entirely on dietary cholesterol. But there's so many weird variables and so many different LDL and HDL and all that. That's the two big numbers that they're like, in general, if this number is high, you probably have some generalized associated other levels in the micro, you know, of it that are also high. But it's a super generic thing to say that. Some people just genetically have higher cholesterol, but they may have no signs of cardiovascular disease. They have no atherosclerosis. They don't have any plaque buildup. They just have high cholesterol.
It's fine.
Yeah. But they don't look at that. They do a blood test, a simple thing. They check it. It says, oh, you're high in this. Here's some pills. And I told the doctor, and they got pissed.
To your grandpa's defense.
Yeah. The doctor got mad at me. I was like, I'm not going to take this stuff. I saw a bunch of bad stuff on the internet. They're like, oh God. Like they just immediately scoff. And I was like, you know what? I'm like 70 pounds overweight. Yeah. How about I lose weight? I'm eating fucking pizza ranch dressing.
Yeah.
Why don't you try to take some other measures before you? He's like, do what you want to do.
Because
like,
we have no preventative medicine in America.
He's mad at you because you want to lose weight instead of taking
back,
the medication.
I came back in like 3 months for a checkup and I had lost 70 pounds.
Yeah.
I was like 65 pounds.
Yeah.
And
check your cholesterol.
They checked it and it was fine. He's like, cool. So you're taking the meds? And I was like, I never took that. I told you I wasn't going to take it. I didn't take it. He's like, what'd you do? I was like, do you not look at the thing? Like I lost like 70
they
pounds.
Don't pay attention. Yeah.
Yeah. I lost 70 pounds. I started eating right. I quit eating pizza and ranch dressing every night.
Yeah.
And so then, and I've gone back and they're like, oh, it's borderline. Like it was like, it was 200 or something. It wasn't, I don't know. I don't remember what the levels were, but it was like, I was 10 points over what considers to start to be high risk or something.
Sorry,
I was
lose some more weight.
Yeah. I'll do what my uncle said. You eat broccoli and cheap beer. Yeah. That's how you fix it. Yeah. Lots of broccoli and cheap beer.
So the one other thing that I ran into is a bunch of, and this kind of pisses me off because it's sort of exploiting like the easiest to exploit, is I started to see a ton of companies who were making false claims with their medications, and then they were specifically marketing them in mass to elder care facilities. So what they would start to do, like the first one that I ran into was Bristol-Myers Squibb. In 2007, they had one of their drugs that they had put through, Abilify, had what the FDA called a black box warning that if elderly patients took it, there was a high risk for it to just be fatal.
Whoa.
Just fucking like full on. They called it a black box warning. There it was.
Right.
The company, however, knowing this, had a specific sales task force whose job was to get elder care and old folks homes to just start giving out the prescription in bulk to all the fucking patients.
Right.
So FDA says this is going to kill old people. So Bristol Myers Squibb develops a fucking sales task a task force to start selling it to them. They also, the DOJ, the Department of Justice, started to look into it and found all this evidence of it. And they also found that they were giving kickbacks to medical professionals that were in charge of the elder care facilities in order to get them to do it, like full on just illegal cash money kickbacks.
It seems weird, though, because the insurance company has to pay. Like, I know we pay the insurance company.
Right.
Then the insurance company has to pay the pharmaceutical company.
Right.
They're like, oh, there's a big old insurance scam. It doesn't seem like we all provide enough money for them to grossly overpay for the prescription drugs and all that behind the scenes stuff. And then the insurance company is still making tons of money.
Well, the fact of the matter is we've got.
Well, insurance companies aren't making money. That's the problem.
Oh, they make tons of money.
They make tons
insurance
of money.
Companies?
Yeah, that's a whole scheme. That's a whole thing in itself. That's a whole evil in itself of them trying to deny claims.
Maybe we need to talk about that. Oh, true. Yeah.
But,
right.
But I mean, the fact of the matter is you're getting the medical people who run these facilities to get to, you're doing like they do to all the doctors, give out Abilify, give out Abilify.
Right. What's even Abilify though, treat, you know?
I forget what it treats. That was one thing I didn't write down.
If you're an old person that's living, take Abilify. We'll fix that right away.
They got fined $515 million and no criminal charges, of course, were done. So they got charged fucking peanuts compared to how much they probably made off of doing this for years. The company AstraZeneca did the same exact thing with an insomnia drug called Seroquel. They marketed it to elderly people in spite of warnings of health problems.
I found Abilify can treat schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, depression, and Tourette syndrome.
Okay.
Fuck. And autism.
So AstraZeneca did the same exact thing with an elderly population, $520 million in fines, no criminal charges. Lilly did the same exact thing with Zyprexa, which is a sleep aid. They targeted nurse homes in spite of death side effects. They were charged with $1.4 billion. Johnson & Johnson did the same exact thing with two antipsychotic drugs called Risperdal and Invegra. These weren't known to cause health problems for the elderly, but they didn't do what Johnson & Johnson said they did. They were labeling them as this antipsychotic and antidepressant medicine, but the FDA said those medicines don't treat that. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. And they got fined they think the ultimate fine is going to be between $1.5 and $2 billion because it's still going on, which is nothing.
That's the problem with
fucking
that.
Nothing.
The consequence, it's the same thing. We talked about that on something else too. It's like the consequence of what you have to pay if you get caught. It's like, let's just take the risk of getting in trouble, because even if we get trouble, it doesn't even touch the profits.
Yeah.
It's not even touching it. It's a slap on the hand.
Exactly.
And then they keep going.
It's the same thing as like going to prison. You know, like if they made it where you got killed, you know, you were executed for stealing a car. Bet you people wouldn't steal cars.
Right.
You'd only have to kill a few people and then things would stop, you know, like.
No, but the fines do nothing to them. And no, I just fucking kept uncovering thing after thing of pharmaceutical companies targeting elder care facilities because they're just fucking honeypots.
And the thing I was saying earlier is targeting children because it's a customer for life. Yep. Like, you're on this med, you're used to being on this med, you're going to need another med because you're on that med, and you grow up being on the meds. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, it's like desensitization.
Right.
To pharmaceuticals.
Right.
You know, as a kid, you're already taking pills because there's an issue.
And it's horrible. Those are the two, those are the two segments of the population that are the easiest to fucking exploit. Yeah. And it's,
pills have an innocence into them. When you consume something, it feels so innocent. It doesn't, you're not injecting it. You know what I mean? Like, you drank that willow bark tea. You'd have to drink a fucking gallon of that shit and it wouldn't happen. Right.
Right.
But you could swallow 10 aspirin with a quickness.
Real
and fuck yourself
sick.
Up.
Yeah.
It's just a weird sense of innocence and the relief. Of them saying it was
I've had like my oldest daughter, she's really sensitive and she has like, I almost want to say she has like some sort of emotional, not emotional issues, but she gets real sad real easy. Like, she'll just be down, you know, but I would never ever have her take some sort of medication.
That's a super good point that you bring up, because I think people watch too much fucking TV, man. It's not, you're not going to ride off into the sunset like, you know, the people on the movie. Being sad is a fucking normal part of life.
Yeah.
Shit happens in life. You're going to feel sad one day. Not every day is going to be, you're going to be on top of the world the next fucking day. Shit's going to happen.
You wake
in
up
life.
On the wrong side of the bed some days and it's just the
you might
shit
have some shit going on in your life that you're like, fuck, I'm divorced, or I broke up with my girlfriend or my boyfriend or whatever, and you're sad for
and
a fucking month.
And kids have that
month.
Same thing. Kids have that same thing.
But you don't take a pill to make you not sad. You have to fucking work through that shit.
And you talk about it and everything else. So
you just have to, it sucks, but you got to do it. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of
life.
But
the reality though is it is part of life, but there's also clinical depression and there's also neurological imbalances, chemical imbalances in the brain.
I'm not saying that there's no reason to take medication.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If you're sad for a fucking year and you went to counseling and you tried to correct your life and changed your diet and you started exercising and something is physically fucking wrong and they can test.
There's imbalances.
But do they actually come up with a blood test? Like, oh, you're low in serotonin.
There's no test to definitively show that.
But there's showing it's cured other than your, you know, opinion to say that it's very subjective. It's to say like, oh, I don't feel good. They gave me the shit. And you, even when you have a headache, you take Advil. You kind of forget how bad your headache was.
It's the same thing, though. Like, there's placebos.
Well, I'm saying, like, 3 months later, you know, you're sad. 3 months later, you take some shit. Shit changed in your life, too. Yeah, maybe your life just got fucking better. But now you're 3 months into some fucking Prozac.
Yeah. My grandma used to do it with my sisters, though. Like, she would, my sisters would always be like, oh, my stomach hurts. My stomach hurts. You know, I'm not feeling good. My stomach. And she would give them some candy.
Right.
And be like, here, this will make your stomach feel better.
And
10 minutes later, we're doing good. Yep. I do the same things with my daughters. You know, like they're I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good. You give them something that's nothing. And, oh, here, this will help it out. Or drink this. Here, I made you some special tea.
Right, right.
And it's just tea. Yeah.
Brad's special tea is crushed up Benadryl. Yeah. So go to sleep. That's
my
Brad's
mom's fucking
tea.
Special.
Tylenol.
My mom's special tea was a fucking hot toddy. Like, every time I got sick, she would get me fucking drunk, and I would pass the fuck out on
here, have this warm milk. It's a white Russian.
It was tea and honey and lemon and gin what I would drink when I was sick.
Mine was whiskey, though, but my grandma
had that. And I didn't know that at the time. But now I do. And actually it was whiskey, because I remember as an adult, I got really fucking sick and everybody was like, oh, you should make a hot toddy. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. And they were like, no, you just take tea and lemon and whiskey and honey and like, fucking mix it all up. And I took a drink of it and it was like one flash of those back. Like total flash. I was like, son of a bitch. My mom got me spiked on these.
You ran straight to the store and bought hot wheels.
Hotties.
Yeah. Like, why am I playing with hot wheels?
Even when you look at the depression thing, it's like there's a massive difference between clinical depression and fucking being sad or just being overly emotional, being prone to being sad. And the trick is, when it comes to clinical depression, most people who are clinically depressed, most people who have a chemical imbalance in the neural chemistry in their brain and they end up taking a drug, most people that I know who have taken these end up going through several years and several drugs before they finally, because there's no way to say, oh, this is exactly what's causing your depression and this medicine acts on that mechanism in your brain and will fix it.
There's no way to know what's causing
and you have
the
to take the shit for months.
Yeah.
It takes months to build it up into your system to change.
And now the variables have changed. Now your brain has acclimated. The serotonin levels have changed. That stuff binds to other things. So now you have a different variable coming off of it. There's a huge withdrawal. Yeah. People die from cold turkey. And
it depends on the drug. Like a thing like Prozac, it takes like 3 weeks of taking it to build up enough in your system in order for it to start having an effect, which means you could stop it cold turkey and you have no problems because it's going to take 3 weeks for it to come out of your system.
Right.
So with something like Prozac, it's safer because you can just stop taking it whenever you want to and there's no problem. But there's other ones in the same class that have like a 2-day period. So if I take it for 2 days, it's already changing my chemistry in my brain. And if I just stop taking it, it's going to fuck me up because it's not like
you're gonna have
my
low
brain
low.
Instantly needs this thing and it's not getting it.
I definitely think, though, that there's 1 billion 1 billion people have some type of disorder that they take psychiatric medication of some sort. 1 in 10 people
and one
is
of the,
on
one
antidepressants.
Of those, one of those one things. Ten. One of those things. Those people want an easy way out. I'm not saying that there is no real issue.
We're a quick fix generation.
There are heavy issues out there and people are dealing with them, but I would say a majority are like people being on pain medication.
Right.
I probably have a high pain tolerance, but I have the pain of somebody who takes pain medication for every single day.
Right.
And I don't take pain medication.
Right.
I just deal with it. You know, it's part of life.
After that last back thing, dude, I listened to a Rogan podcast with Dr. Rhonda Patrick, which that chick is awesome. She has her own podcast too. I can't remember what it's called, but like Found My Fitness, I think. But listen to that Rogan podcast. It might be a little dry for people, super physiological, like medical. Like she talks about crazy stuff. Like her vernacular is
I don't know
insane.
Some of our highfalutin fans that
they might
talk
love it.
About,
yeah, but Dr. Rhonda Patrick on Joe Rogan talks about all that stuff. But she scared me out of ibuprofen and the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like aspirin, ibuprofen.
I take ibuprofen every night.
I quit. I'm not taking it. I woke up with a smashed headache. It's super bad for you. It's really dangerous for women to take it. So I have decided, man, like unless something is crazy, and I think even if something's crazy, I'm not taking anything. I'm going to try fresh air, glass of water.
What's the thing
about
ibuprofen? Because I take 2 doses a day.
It has something to do with changing the rigidity of smooth wall muscle fibers. So if you're prone to atherosclerosis or plaque buildup in your vasculatory system, it doubles the chance of you having a stroke or heart attack. Hmm. And women specifically are at risk because they innocently don't think of it. Like things like Midol or just Advil.
Yeah.
Women during their menstrual cycle just kill that shit. I know. I know lots of people.
So Midol contain
Midol ibuprofen? Is ibuprofen and dandelion extract. What? It's just ibuprofen with a diuretic so that you won't retain water. That's all that is. And it's branded as Midol. But when you take that, there's a huge cardiovascular
risk. There's the branding thing.
Did she actually specifically say double?
I think she said it increases. No, it might be, the number might have been 50%.
That's kind of scary. I think
she said it increases your risk of stroke or heart attack by 50%.
I asked that because.
Check this out though. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, because in 2011.
Recent finding.
When Vioxx was, because Vioxx was an NSAID, another a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, just like ibuprofen, just like naproxen, which is Aleve, I guess.
Yeah.
But Vioxx came out and it was doubling the risk of stroke. It wasn't doubling the amount of stuff in your system. It was doubling the chance of you to have a stroke and a heart attack.
There was an MMA fighter ruined it. He had a stroke. He's fucked. Like the guy that was taking Vioxx.
Somewhere between they estimate between 88,000 and 140,000 heart attacks were caused because of people taking Vioxx, and half of them resulted in death.
So that's the thing. You can buy ibuprofen and aspirin and those things, and those are rooted in the same type of, you know, family NSAIDs, of that. Yeah, they're NSAIDs. So she said that they had just changed. It's such a big deal on this recent finding that they had to go and change only on prescription. They didn't do it on consumer, apparently. They actually had to add a new warning label about those facts that how much it increased it on all prescription forms. So when you go maybe get 800 milligram Motrin, it's not good for you.
Well, I take ibuprofen and I take 800 milligrams at a time. I take it in the morning.
That's
and
prescription.
At night.
You know what I mean? Yeah. When you're just taking four.
I take four. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a prescription drug at that point. You're just doing it yourself.
Yeah.
So
other crazy thing about the rebranding about Midol, women who take Midol for cramping and whatever else, Sherry is allergic to ibuprofen.
Right.
Well, she was when she was younger, and they told her don't ever take it again because it could possibly kill you.
Right. She takes Midol.
Well, there's a thing of it in the cupboard. Cabinet, I don't know if she, I mean, I'm assuming if you have it, you've probably taken it.
And it's in excess. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. If you fucking sprained your ankle playing soccer at the park and you're fucked and you're hurting, and you never take it, it's probably okay to get through that week with ice and some ibuprofen or whatever to get that injury down.
If you take it every day.
But it's not like that whole weekly thing where you take it for 7 days every month as a woman on your menstrual cycle. Apparently, that's really bad.
Yeah.
And like for me, like I was kind of habitually taking it when my back was hurting, trying to get back in it. Yeah. Every day. It also helps cut weight for jiu-jitsu if you want to try. Yeah. So
try that. Check that out.
Silence. So there's nothing wrong with taking Midol.
Okay, Google, interracial sex.
If that's all you had and you had a headache, you could take Midol. It'll make you not retain water at the same time.
But I mean that gets to a big thing, which is fucking side effects of drugs. I mean, we're kind of torn. I mean, these there are drugs that undoubtedly help people's standard of living. Like if you're in pain a lot and Advil helps to relieve that pain and it makes your daily existence better.
If it takes the edge off.
You have to you have to realize these are the side effects. These are the benefits. It's always going to be a risk benefit evaluation.
It's a quality of life wager.
It is it's a quality of life wager.
It's a transaction,
exactly it
basically. It's like when you go to the store and you're like, fuck, milk's $5. You got the milk and went home. It was worth it. So if you're in that much pain that you take the prescription and you inherit those risks because otherwise you have no quality of life. Yeah. You can't walk. You can't get up.
I don't think there's anything that takes away pain completely. No. It just dulls it. You know what I mean? So if you have this sharp pain in your knee and you're walking around, you pop some ibuprofen or Tylenol or whatever the fuck you're going to use, and it dulls that pain to where you can walk a little further without it bothering you.
Well, people,
you
except for the DARPA pain vaccine, which is being tested by the military.
Well, they use blockers. That's blockers. That's so they can't. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. But you can block pain receptors. You know, I mean, it's but anything over the counter, I'm talking
right.
about.
Right. No, nothing that we can get is going to do it. And
it's
especially
gonna make
not
you a soldier of the New World Order.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Especially not without side effects. So, I mean, it's all and again, I love my doctor and I trust him quite a bit, and he knows I have a really big hang up on side effects.
Right.
And when he does prescribe me something, like I'll even say, like,
Don't worry, like, Dave. Are this there, won't make your vagina
I'll just
hurt.
Be like, are there a ton of side effects? I don't want something with a ton of side effects. Right. Like you know,
five's
whatever.
Okay.
And he'll, well, just whatever. I mean, he
I
knows
said that,
I'm
though,
really...
and the doctor told me no. I went and read that shit. It was fucking off the hook. I wanted to go back and be like, can I talk to this doctor again? Because they look at
would,
me like you're
wherever the
fucking,
fuck you're going, I would not go
it's
there
no, you get roulette doctors. It's Kaiser. Like, oh, I get a different doctor.
Yeah, you get a different
time.
Doctor.
But this is the thing is, as soon as you say the internet, they're just like, bitch, I went to medical school, and they don't want to hear it.
Right.
They're like, yeah, you went to medical school fucking 20 years ago.
And they studied stuff probably that was on the internet.
Yeah, are you taking new tests and shit? Are you looking at this stuff? Are you questioning anything?
Are you keeping up with new, you know, new studies?
Yeah,
and
he
research?
Told me no side effects. I mean,
well, here, like,
your doctor seems
no
cool.
Well, here's
no.
The, well, here's another thing. Like, here's an example. Like, I went to my doctor for, I have high blood pressure, and I went to my doctor for quite a while, and he kept saying, you have high blood pressure. I really want to get you on high blood pressure medication. I was like, I don't want to take high blood pressure medication. And then after about a year, I finally met with him again, and he was like, dude, I really want to put you on high blood pressure medication. And I was like, I just don't trust the side effects. And he was like, okay, well, let me tell you the side effects
of
you having high blood pressure. Yeah. And he just like read through all these health things. And he was like, you make the call which side effects you're going to, you know. So at that point, I was like, fuck it. Okay, you're right. I'm going to take this medicine. And he said, like, do you want to know the side effects of the medicine that I'm prescribing to you? At which point I was like, no, I don't. Like, I don't. Yeah. If I need
my
this,
butt started bleeding.
Well, no.
Because,
here's the reason why. I mean, yes, you should look into side effects and know about it. But the thing is, I'm just going to fucking psychosomatic some side effects on myself. It's like if it's suddenly like this thing, like, you know, oh,
I'm having,
you know,
heat flashes.
People get hit itchy feet and heat flashes. Then I'm going to fucking take this shit.
Sweating
like, my feet are itchy. I'm sweating. It's like, no, I don't want to know what the fucking side effects are because I'm going to think I have them.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to fucking like freak out about it. But it's like, I mean, it's a hit or miss. So,
slippery,
you know,
slope.
The ultimate side effect, however, was from Bear.
There you go. I knew it was coming.
It was the ultimate side effect. So Bear in 1984, one of the things that they own is called the Cutter Biological Unit, which is part of their area that does biological research and so forth. And apparently they were working on drugs that are used to help with blood clotting for hemophiliacs and what they called like factor 8 and factor 9. I don't know what that means, but that was what they were doing. And it required blood in the first place. So you had to get blood in order to make this drug. And there were federal regulations in place that prevented you from getting drugs from certain places, such as prisoners or IV drug users. But Bayer started getting their blood from prisoners.
Sure.
And IV drug users.
Sure.
Because they're fucking like, oh, the prisoners will give blood. Let's fucking take it.
Yeah.
So they started getting all this blood to make their hemophiliac drug. And this was in 1984. And then it was discovered that it was infecting hemophiliacs with HIV.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't test the blood?
Apparently not.
What the fuck is that?
Apparently not.
Okay.
And I'd like to say right now that should be fucking end of Bear story. That should be like, you fucked up, you're closed.
But it gets better.
Yeah, you're closed down. Not
that's
fine.
It. That's the ultimate
you're
fuck.
Done.
You gave people AIDS.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but the government gave people AIDS. So,
right.
Well, that's we can forgive
pot,
a few.
Kettle black. We'll just let them go. So, but the thing that makes it even fucking worse is that the government discovers this. And they say, holy fucking shit, you can't keep selling this because this is America and that's fucked up. And they were like, cool, new batch. Don't sweat it. We're not going to sell this stuff. So, what did they do?
To recoup their costs, they offload that shit in Europe.
Yep. Asia and Latin America.
Good thing they don't have guns there.
So they didn't sell it to America anymore because that's what they were told.
Yeah.
Like, you can't sell this in America. Done.
Like, yeah, don't worry about it.
Don't sell
There's
it.
The rest
There's
of the
rest
world.
Of, so Asia
we're
and
much
Latin
bigger
America,
than this.
They sold all of it. So 6,000 U.S. HIV cases are directly linked to this.
That's crazy.
6,000. Cases are of hemophiliacs who got HIV because they used Bear's drug, because they broke the law in where they got the blood from.
Hemophiliacs,
some of them,
their blood won't clot.
Yeah, the blood doesn't clot.
That's right. And there's no information on
how much they did. They still had 100,000 doses of the drug that they sold throughout the world after that.
Yeah,
who fucking knows?
Yeah, someone would have to do a study to find out who those people are.
Yeah, don't get the hemophiliacs and necrophiliacs.
No, those are different.
Necrophiliacs fuck dead people.
Those are different.
Is there a good hemophiliacs?
I don't know if there is a good.
The hapophiliac?
They fuck happy people.
No, they're uncontrollably happy.
Oh, okay.
What is philiac? That doesn't make sense. They bleed and they can't stop bleeding. It's just disorder or something? I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Which brings me to real quick.
It has to be just a disorder because necro is death and hemo is blood.
The word pharma, the root term is pharmakon. It's pharma like you think, pharmakon, which is a really cool looking word. But the Greek root for that, it was the word, it has two meanings, cure and poison.
Sure.
I thought that was super cool.
That is super cool.
That's where pharma comes from. Cure
that is
and
super
poison.
Cool.
It makes sense. It's a perfect.
Well, there is a big pharma game that their tagline is, can you profit from something that...
it's like Pharma Sims?
It is. It's kind of like, Pharma Sims are like...
It's like you're developing drugs and...
Yeah, you have to develop the drugs and then you profit off of them, so you're profiting off of sick people.
There's some fucking douches in like convertible Mercedes just like, dude, you play last night? Like they're fucking... There's a whole online community of evil...
Probably the pharmacists play it, That's funny.
Yep.
So I wanted... Are we done? Anything else? Okay,
that's like the Grand Theft Auto of fucking pharma.
I've got more stuff, but nothing's going to beat Bear giving the world AIDS. So
today is Father's Day, and when you hear this, it'll be a late Father's Day to you. But happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Yes,
Dave, you're father of your puppies.
Yes,
so happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
I forgot one. I didn't know about that one. I didn't even know.
I did want to say though, like I kind of feel. I think fathers get the short end of the stick. Like Mother's Day, everybody's on the fucking corner selling flowers. Like there's flowers, teddy bears, like buy the Mother's Day stuff, like just all kinds of shit.
Even if there was a stand, it'd be something stupid like ties that you didn't want though.
Well, yeah, that's because it's fucking man. It's like non-emotional. I don't want to.
That's not true though. Like I love my kids. You know what I mean?
Like you don't want flowers though. You don't want a teddy bear. There's not a generic thing. Like girls would want flowers, a teddy bear. Like they'll want those things.
I guess guys are.
They do have specific
needs. So many different things. Because
what are you gonna do? Buy me a knife?
Well, you have metro. Yeah, well. For you, and then you have metrosexuals who might want a nice hair gel or something. And then, everybody's different.
There isn't a real generic guy present. Like,
I just think
every guy want a knife.
I just think guys.
Home Depot card? Like, is that?
No, it depends. There's a whole lot of dudes that don't do any of that shit.
Well, what's the universal Father's Day present?
What's flowers?
This can help women
I know
for
what
next
it is.
Year.
Blowjobs. A blowjob stand.
Not necessarily, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
no, if you have that card,
blowjob stand.
If you have the blowjob card.
We give your husband blowjob for $10.
There's a legal contract that if you gave your husband the blowjob card for Father's Day, that you are legally obligated to provide the blowjob in return for that card.
Yeah, people do that. There's got to be something. I find that funny though. That like, why women and flowers? Like, maybe that's a topic.
Here's the thing, and I'm not saying that men love their children any less than women. I'm just saying that men are uncomfortable. Most men are uncomfortable showing emotion because they don't have very much emotional intelligence or much connection to their emotions. And like Mother's Day is like this fairly emotional day. It's like you're celebrating and showing love to a mom and all this stuff. And I think most guys are like, that's about enough of that.
Yeah.
Got it. Thanks.
Yeah. Here
I mean, there's got to be
Give me the tie and the macaroni art and I'll fucking, I'm cool. That's enough.
So thanks. I have to say though, what I got, I don't know if you got anything, but, I got a card because I said, don't buy me anything.
Yeah.
I bought myself a Gi.
Yeah.
And I spent X amount of dollars on it. So we'll leave it at that. And so I got myself a Gi a little while ago. Yeah. You don't have to give me anything. And so they got me just a card. But I have to say, the card was the coolest card I've ever seen. It said, Dad, but it was made out of integrated circuit boards. And they found that shit at Target. I was
funny.
Yeah. And the inside of the envelope flap was printed integrated circuits. And the actual dad was circuits with LEDs on the card the front of it. It was really cool. Yeah. I'm going to take apart the dad thing and save it
something. My kids made me a big ass card out of construction paper. And then I opened it up and money fell out of it. And I was like, what the fuck?
Nice.
Like,
I gave you this money to give to me.
Yeah. No, my youngest, made it rain. My youngest daughter put $5 in the card, like in this big ass card. I was like, whose money is it? Yeah. And then my oldest daughter's like, well, it's money bags over there because she has a bunch of money saved up. And so, and I was like, you know what? I was like, normally I wouldn't really take the money for my kids.
I'm going to Chipotle.
No, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get me a coffee this morning. Yeah. Thank you, girls. Like, yeah. Daddy's going to get a coffee. Like, I appreciate it. They're all smiling, you know? So, nice. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
You have a little bit of guilt in your stomach when you spent her money?
No. I buy them so much trouble crap. With it.
No, I'll spend anybody's money.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was a gesture. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think they would have felt worse if I gave it back to them, you know?
Yeah.
Now, if it was like $25 or something, like,
it's too much. That's the line.
She said she wanted to put $25 in there. And I was like, no. Like, that's, I don't want your money.
Right.
So go buy a toy.
All right. Sponsors.
Sponsors. Yes. Yucateco, once again, thank you very much. We love your sauce. It tastes good. Why am I doing sponsors today? I don't want to be sponsors. You wrote it down.
Yeah.
Pocket bombed some more people eating breakfast.
That's an old note, Brad. You're not supposed to read all that. That's specific to that day.
Digital Creations for everything that they do, our mugs, mouse pads, bottle openers, all that good stuff. Digital Creations in Bakersfield, California. Look them up. Salt 7. 7, the number 7, EVEN.com. Check them out. They have sensory deprivation tanks. And if you're in America, you want to travel to Bakersfield and float in these tanks because they are the best.
Yes.
Correct.
And that's it. Like, there's no more to say. Go to salt7.com and you can check them out for more information. If you've never heard of sensory deprivation, really look into it for pain management and solidarity, I guess, would be a good
and
word.
We talk about it all the time because obviously they're sponsors, but B, we are like huge fans and we go there. And if you haven't gone back and listened, like if you're a recent listener, I highly recommend you go back and listen to the float tank episode, the sensory deprivation tank episode, because we go into a lot of detail about it. So check it out if you haven't listened to it. It's worth a listen.
Yep, you can check them out on Facebook and Instagram also. And then Dark Side Graphics. He has a new website, darksidegraphics.com. And you can go there. And if you do place an order for shirts, you know, or something he can do, tell him that you heard the podcast and he's offering 10% off. So just that's through contact, I guess. Maybe work out something, a code or something in the future. But I don't think he's doing online orders. I think it's just
contact.
Yeah, contact him with what you need and get it there. But he's a great guy, Kevin Brewster. Thank you. Same thing with Dirk Bentz and Jennifer at Digital Creations and the hot sauce bottles at
PrintDirtCheap.com as well.
Yep. Yep. Oh, why code. Is it? You give me.
That's an old note. I tried to explain it. You were on a fucking run. You went with it. Thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com. Use code SOFAKING if you need to order business cards, stickers, banners, anything like that. Also, thanks again to Daniel Camarillo for teaching us how to beat people up.
Camarillo Jiu Jitsu.
Yeah, Camarillo Jiu Jitsu.
Armhunter.com. He actually sells gis, and he is literally an arm hunter. If you roll with him, don't leave your arms out.
And he's a hero. He caught a bad guy a while back, so you can Google that. That's impressive.
He's American.
Yeah, American.
But yeah, if you he's offering, if you buy one of the gis, they're Arm Hunter gis. They're really cool, really nice gis.
They are.
Kimonos, if you're that into the jiu-jitsu thing and you don't want to call them gis. He's offering a gi with an armbar DVD. It's a DVD that he made with how to do, you know, his techniques on armbars. So is that it?
I think that's everybody. Yep.
Oh, and Sofa King podcast, or no. Yeah. Sofa King at El Yucateco store. And are they doing the 10% off also?
Yeah, you can get 10% if you use the code SOFAKING. Also, don't forget that there are still t-shirts left, but I don't know for how long because my phone is blowing up with orders. It's SOFAKINGPODCAST.com /happy100 and you just pay shipping and tax.
And I did want to apologize for the international stuff. Like the shipping on international was outrageous.
It's insane. Who would have thunk it, man? Like
We literally went to everywhere we could go to try and find decent shipping for a shirt. And it's just, it's not crazy. Happening.
So, but we appreciate it if you still buy it. And what else was there? Something else? Anything else?
I think that's it. Is that it?
That's it.
Don't be a retard. Doctor's orders. Go fuck yourself. Take 2 days in the morning. Hope it doesn't kill yourself. Doctor's orders. Don't you open up that window. Don't you let out that antidote. Yeah. Popping pills is all we know. Inhales is all we know. Don't go through the front door.
low key at the night show. So don't you open up that window. Don't you let out the antidote. Yeah. Get my money, buy my medicine, buy my medicine, buy my medicine. Get my money, buy my medicine, buy my medicine, buy my medicine. Yeah, you know I got to have that medicine. That prescription medicine, baby. You know, purple, orange, green.
Doctor's orders. Go fuck yourself. They do what they send them on and overdose and kill yourself.
Listen, this is my evaluation. This shit oversaturated. Y'all can get evacuated. Kids have been activists and they ain't even activated. Married to the internet, stuck in place, salivating. Ain't nobody graduating. Don't nobody love this shit the way I love it. So I gotta hate it. Everybody off a fame. That ain't no exaggeration. Damn, I'm getting aggravated. Fuck, I'm getting agitated. Teach us someone to pit in these fucking schools. The police got our name in all their databases. Girls be 13, acting 22. Niggas be 44, acting half their ages. Somebody tell me what the fuck is going on. These niggas in tight shit, I'm in the fucking matrix. It's looking like a sign of the revelation. About time of the return of the fucking greatest. I got all these patients, man. How come they ain't patient with me? They just think I want the money. Why when I can take it with me? Y'all don't do it for the love not. They gon' find out who you are, just admit it before you get it. Yeah.
Say what you living about. Fuck you gon' tell me. Do you remember the way you started out? No. You looking lost now.
You are a bastard.
Fake it till you make it, take your little paper. But when you look in the mirror, your credibility's gone. Yeah. I'd rather be hated on for who I am than to be loved for who I'm not. That's worth to die.
Playing fortune, it's not your forte. Fuck the world now, I'm done with foreplay. Doctor's orders, go fuck yourself. They do what they said, I'm on an overdose and kill yourself.
In the beginning, a few of the people who had a problem, I was this good scoffed. I just shook off, probably reminded you of the first time you saw Tiger Woods golf. Never thought about how much my race and nationality meant, but based on how I ascended, see how plain it was now, they want me to jet. But no one really gave a fuck about my descent, till I took off, mistook me because I looked soft. But I stood tall, I just followed them. So I rose and grew balls, told these hoes to screw off, decided opposing you was what I'm supposed to do. All I did was say what I'm feeling when the vocal booth calls and had you on pins and needles. When I spoke to you all, you felt my pain. It's almost like I poke voodoo dolls, and I hope my spirit haunts the studios when I'm gone. My picture jumps off a poster and just floats through the halls and fucking goes through the walls like the ghost of Lou Rawls. Corman said it for Armageddon, the drama said I'm going in. Already got an arm and head, and whoever said words to this words ain't heard me word of my give. Fucking my image even ends up taking a personal hit. Whoever I heard or whatever bridges I burn in this bitch, and whatever bitches feel like they didn't deserve what they get, and whatever consequences come with every verse is worth it. So die, turn a beat on whose turn is it to get murdered on it? In his. So all the years I spent towing the line over time, as sure as the mold is blind in my mind, I'm still underground as a groundhog, and I'ma go for mine. Like a hole for road is trying to dig up some golden diamonds, a cold to find. No sign of slowing these lines on my nines. I just load up the most rhymes and open fire with a closed mind. All I needed was someone to co-sign. Been a assault rifle with the sniper scope for this whole time. Take wood, say when the blast is, give me the order, I spray. Pain in the ass, get shot in the ass with a paint gun. Ain't no one safe from non-believers, there ain't none. I even make the pictures I wrote come. I'm waiting on someone to say something. Dre, make the bass pump and let the tape run. For old time's sake, I spit it straight through. This is take one. The moment you're waiting for has come, but the
fame and fortune, it's not your forte. Fuck the world now, I'm done with foreplay. Doctor's orders, go fuck yourself. They do what they said, I'm on an overdose and kill yourself. Doctor's orders. Doctor's orders.